If you like dropping bombs from downtown, you've come to the right place.
Ahead to Curry. Curry sets, fires, puts it up. Bang! Steph Curry from way downtown.
Get ready for all things basketball.
Let it rain!
Where the hot takes get even hotter.
He's on fire!
This is Beyond the Arc with Jacob Reimer.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Arc. Took a big break doing a bunch of other things in the content industry, but we're back because college basketball is almost back. Yes, that is correct. We are less than a month away from the college basketball season starting. We've got all the secret scrimmages and stuff like that coming up. I think we got like a Kansas, Illinois, Tennessee plays somebody. I think North Carolina plays FAU. So some big secret scrimmages coming up here. But we're back. College basketball is almost back, a few weeks away. So what we're going to be doing over here over the next couple of weeks here is basically just a power conference breakdown. Today's episode is going to be the ACC. We're going to break down the ACC, give you everything you need to know about some of the top teams, maybe a sleeper team in there, and then some of my rankings. And we're going to do that for each of the Power Six, then I guess for college basketball. So you got the ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, Big East, SEC, and the last year of the Pac-12. So yeah, we're going to dive into that today. Like I just said, we're going to dive into the ACC a little bit. First up, starting here, we're just going to start out with the favorite in the conference, the Duke Blue Devils. I am going to, you guys know how I feel about Duke. I'm a Carolina guy, but I'm just going to shoot you straight here. This Duke team is dangerous. They're not going to get the number one rank at the beginning of the season because that's going to go to Kansas. But this Duke team, what they brought back and what they bring in, this makes me feel like 2015 Kentucky. Now, I don't know if there's NBA talent equivalent like that Kentucky team had. I mean, Devin Booker was the sixth man, guys. I don't know if there's anybody like that on Duke. They return over 80% of their scoring. Jeremy Roach and Tyrese Proctor, you have experience in the backcourt. How often do you see that at a Duke team? The hype for Tyrese Proctor is real. There is a lot of people expecting a huge season from the sophomore. Had a great finish to his freshman year last year, and he comes back. Tyrese Proctor can be very dangerous, one of the best guards in college basketball this season. They got Mark Mitchell that came back, Ryan Young, and then probably the most surprising one in Kyle Filipowski. And he doesn't just have the potential to be the best player in the ACC. He has the potential to be the best player in the country this year. Just a do-it-all kind of guy. He's long, athletic. He can stretch the floor. He can bang down low and score in the post. He can block shots. He can do just about everything. So they're going to be very tough. Like I just said, they returned 80% of their scoring. We see continuously in college basketball, it is very important to have experience. You see that with every team that wins the national championship, how deep they are, how many juniors and seniors they have on the roster. They're just not built around freshmen. Because, I mean, we've seen it here with the Duke teams of the past and the Kentucky teams of the past, that Kentucky hasn't won a championship in over 10 years now. Duke hasn't won one since 2015, when it was all about Kentucky that year. When was the last time Kentucky went to a Final Four, to be honest? Same for Duke. No, never mind. Not Duke. Duke went 2 years ago because that was Coach K's last year. You know what happened there, guys. But, yeah, I think for Duke, it's national championship or bust. I didn't even mention who they brought in. Another loaded class, another loaded freshman class that's going to be able to learn from the experienced guys that they have. Jared McCain, he's a really good shooter. I think he's the best shooter in this freshman class, to be honest. You've probably seen him all over TikTok, becoming pretty famous on there with his platform. But he is going to be a great backup for Roach and Tyrese Proctor, and he's going to learn a lot from those two guys, especially Jeremy Roach. Jeremy Roach is a very smart point guard. So Jared McCain is going to provide them a big boost. You got Sean Stewart, you got Caleb Foster, just a couple other five stars that they brought in, and TJ Power, who is another stretch four that can come in for Kyle Filipowski when need be, and just kind of build off of him. So this Duke team, they are very deep, very, very talented. And that's why I say it's national championship or bust for them. You kind of expect that from Duke every single year with the talent level that they're going to have year in, year out. But this year's different because the guys that they returned, it was just so unexpected. You kind of got the hint from Jeremy Roach. I think you kind of figured Mark Mitchell would. But Proctor and Filipowski, like they were two guys that very easily could have gone in the first round of the NBA draft last year and maybe even in the lottery. And they came back to improve their games, and they know what type of team Duke can have this year, and they're legit at potentially winning a national championship. They're very dangerous, and it scares me, since I'm a Carolina guy, but because they got the experience, they got the depth, they've got the talent. This is going to be a good test to see from John Shire what he can do in what would it be, year two now? Is that right? Yeah, year two. So a good test is to kind of grade where he will be at by the end of this year with this very talented Duke roster. So we're going to move on. We're going to get to my Tar Heels now. We all know North Carolina, the preseason number one a year ago, they then ended up missing the NCAA tournament, becoming the first NCAA or first number one team to miss the NCAA tournament. Can they bounce back from that? I fully think they can. This roster, like the complete roster turnover, had so many guys hit the portal. You even saw Caleb Love hit the portal. He's now out west at Arizona. Your two main guys now are RJ Davis and Armando Bacot. Bacot is back for his fifth year, his COVID year. He's just going to make the double-double in the rebounding record unbreakable at North Carolina. I say it every time about North Carolina come in, but I really do mean it this time. I like it. Everything, I love this team. Everything that I've been hearing so far coming into the year, the mindset is hungry and humble. They're blocking out all the noise that was taking place last year with the team being the number one ranked. I mean, Bacot was in TV shows with Outer Banks, and so like the attention really wasn't all there going into the season last year, and it seems like everybody's locked in trying to forget what happened a year ago and get back to the NCAA tournament, be one of the top powerhouse teams in college basketball like North Carolina is used to being. And I really can see that happening with this team. They're going to play fast. They've got RJ Davis, who loves to get out and run. They got the reclassification of stud point guard Elliot Cadeau, who I am very high on. He is a Kendall Marshall-esque point guard that can flat out score the ball. he very easily could average a double-double this season in Chapel Hill. I'm very high on Elliott Cadeau. He could be one of the best. He could be the best freshman in college basketball this season. I am that high on him. So then a couple of standout transfers they brought in, Cormac Ryan from Notre Dame and Harrison Ingram from Stanford. And when Ingram was first coming into college, North Carolina was going after him hard, and he ended up committing to Stanford, and now he's actually at Carolina. But the vibe I've been getting from both of those guys, just seeing all the posts on social media from the Carolina page and then everything that I've been reading, like, they are hungry as well, and they want to win. Cormac Ryan has a massive chip on his shoulder and is pushing guys to be better and win. Like, Baycott has said in the 5 years that he's been there, he's never seen a guy that wants to win more than Cormac Ryan. And I love that. He can shoot. That's what this Tar Heel team's desperately needs. They need consistent shooting. They brought in another lefty shooter, Paxton Wojcik from now I can't even remember where he's from. From Brown. And he can provide a spark off the bench. And that's really what this Tar Heel team needs. They need shooters running up the floor. You're going to have the bigs that are going to be running right to the rim, Baycott and Ingram. Ingram can even stretch it out. But no, I think this North Carolina Tar Heel team, they are going to be tough. They are going to play humble and hard. That's the message that seems to be going around the Carolina locker room there in Chapel Hill, is focus on the goal and getting back to the NCAA tournament. And you guys know where the Final Four is this year. It's in Arizona. It's in Phoenix, where the last time it was held there, the Tar Heels were cutting down the nets. Coincidence? I don't know. In this backcourt, Elliott Cadeau and RJ Davis, like, it gives me Marcus Paige and Joel Berry vibes. Like, the fan favorite and really talented scoring guard in RJ Davis. I mean, like, comparing to Marcus Paige, Joel Berry, he was a great scorer as well, don't get me wrong. And then Elliott Cadeau will come in younger, fill the shoes a little bit, get some experience, learn from RJ like Joel Berry was learning from Marcus Paige. And, I mean, he is college basketball ready. I'm very excited for him. But North Carolina, that there's just so many questions. I'm not too sure what to expect, but from what I've been seeing, I'm excited for North Carolina basketball to be back. Can Miami continue to succeed? So the Hurricanes, they've had an Elite Eight and a Final Four appearance in the last 2 years. They went to the Final Four a year ago, lost to UConn, who went on to win the national championship. They lost Isaiah Wong and Jordan Miller, but they return Nigel Pack, Norchad Omier, Wonga Poplar, and Bensley Joseph, all that were on the Final Four team. That is huge. That is huge for Miami. And they also bring in Matthew Cleveland, a long, versatile, athletic wing that is very experienced and can make a major difference on both ends of the floor. Matthew Cleveland transferring in conference from Florida State to Miami, not just in conference, but in state. So there's going to be a little bit of a rivalry there when they play Florida State this year. But Miami is an interesting team. Jim Larranaga, they've been really high and towards the top of the ACC. They are always right now in the mix with Duke and Carolina and Virginia up there at the top of the ACC. I mean, it's not easy consecutive years in the NCAA tournament going at least to the Elite Eight, but you get an Elite Eight and a Final Four. I mean, Sweet 16 is hard enough. And Jim Larranaga's got his guys to the Elite Eight. They were a 10 seed, and I'm pretty sure they were up against Kansas. So they have lost to the two national champions the last 2 years. Elite Eight, Kansas, and I'm pretty sure they had a lead at halftime, and then lost to UConn in the Final Four last year. But yeah, this is a very interesting team. They've definitely got the experience. They've got a chip on their shoulder from how last year ended, and they should be very confident that they can get back there, at least to another, making it to the second weekend, at least. I think they're going to be a top two, top three team in the ACC this year. Don't be surprised if you see them like at least in the top 10 in the AP rankings when they do come out. But I think this is going to be a very interesting team. Interesting to see how they fill the gap that Isaiah Wong had. Isaiah Wong was one of my favorite players to watch last year. Just an amazing scorer, can defend, can just do everything on both ends of the floor. And Jordan Miller was a great piece for their Final Four team as well last year. But we got a taste last year. Nigel Pack, he can really score the ball. He can shoot from literally everywhere. And then Nurchad Amir, he is just a rebounding machine. He is going to tear it up down low. And just get a lot of boards, a lot of second chance opportunities. And then I think them bringing in Matthew Cleveland is huge, because he didn't have a fully healthy year last year at Florida State. I think he just played like the back half of the year. But he is back, he is healthy, and in Miami now. And I think he will be able to provide a major impact for the Hurricanes and Jim Larranaga's team down there. Then next we're here, we're going to talk about Virginia. Virginia, they have gone now, I believe, three straight NCAA tournaments without a win since they won the national championship in 2019, because he had the COVID year after that. Then they lost to Ohio in the bubble. Trying to think who they would have played in 2022. I can't remember off the top of my head. But then last year they lost in that thriller to Furman when Furman drilled a shot late. And it's basically just, can Tony Bennett regroup? I think Virginia is always going to have a chance when Tony Bennett's on the sidelines there in Charlottesville. They return Reese Beekman, who is an amazing defender, one of the best two-way players in college basketball. And they also return Isaac McNeely. And I expect Isaac McNeely to take a major step in his game this year. And just, he'll be expected to play at a much higher level. But those are the two main pieces for Virginia. And it's going to be interesting to see how they come along with the new pieces they bring in, and what they return. They're always going to be a tough defensive unit. They always are. They slow it down. They let you watch the paint dry. And it's so boring. It's tough to watch Virginia games for me, because I'm used to North Carolina. I'm used to the up and down fast pace game, and they just slow it down to a completely different level, and just tough, grinded out games. And I mean, you don't see it much like with them trailing, just because they're always within striking distance because of their defense. They've got the guys that can knock down shots, especially Reese Beekman and Isaac McNeely, that are going to be relied heavily on this year. And I mean, that's who I think is going to be the top four teams right there. And Virginia, there's going to be a lot of questions about them. Who can be, I guess, that third guy? What their depth is going to look like? There's just so many questions. But I think as long as you have Tony Bennett, you're going to be fine. You're going to be just fine. Especially in the ACC, it hasn't been as great at what it has been in recent years. I mean, 2019, the ACC had three number one seeds with Duke, Virginia, and North Carolina. Florida State was going to be a number one seed. They really haven't been back since. I think the Virginia, they're going to be a pretty tough team, like usual. Just going to be a gritty and tough defensive team. Reese Beekman, I'm pretty sure he's won the conference defensive player of the year the last 2 years. I know he's won it once because Leaky Black actually got it one of the 2 years. But that's where I stand on that with Virginia. There's just so many questions about them. And I'm going to have a sleeper team for you guys here. My sleeper for the ACC will be Florida State. There's many different options out there. NC State could be in the mix. Syracuse maybe, but it's tough. They could be in the mix just because of how solid their backcourt is. But having a new coach, because with Boeheim stepping away, it's going to be tough. It stinks because Syracuse is a powerhouse college basketball team of the past, not recently, but they have what it takes to be at. They have the name. They have the Carrier Dome. It's a traditional college basketball school. They could be in the mix. Pitt potentially as well with what they have, and Capel on the sidelines, but I'm with my true sleeper. I'm going to go with Florida State. They did not have a healthy year at all last year. So just hoping and praying that they can have a healthy season, because with Leonard Hamilton still on the sidelines, it's always going to be tough to count out Florida State. That's why I like them as my sleeper. You can throw in Clemson, but they're going to be towards the top of the conference with the return of PJ Hall. Virginia Tech's going to be right in there as well, as they basically returned mostly everybody with their backcourt. Their backcourt's going to be nasty, with just filled with shooters. Let's go ahead and get into that with my power rankings. I got Duke at number one, North Carolina at number two, Miami 3, Virginia 4. Then Clemson at 5, Virginia Tech at 6, NC State at 7, Florida State 8, Pitt at 9, Syracuse 10, Wake Forest 11. They just got the transfer of Hunter Salas from Gonzaga, which could be huge for them. Louisville, I think they will have a much better year this year. I got them at 12, Notre Dame at 13, Georgia Tech at 14, and Boston College at 15. So that's how I'm thinking the ACC will stack up this year. It'll be pretty top heavy. If you get an upset from any of the bottom three with Boston College, Georgia Tech, and Notre Dame, it's going to be very shocking. But I think the top is going to be pretty set with Duke and Carolina and Miami. I could see like Clemson, Virginia Tech, maybe NC State all kind of flip around in there. But I'm taking Virginia at 4 just because you got Tony Bennett right there. Clemson's going to be a tough team. Virginia Tech's going to be tough. It's going to be per usual. The top two blue bloods in college basketball, Duke and North Carolina, are going to be, I think they're going to be battling out at the end of the year for the top two spots in the ACC this year. So that's mostly everything you guys need to know about the ACC heading into this college basketball season. If there's anything, reach out in the comments. I'll give you some info if you have any questions on the ACC. I think it's going to be a big year for Duke. I think North Carolina is going to bounce back. Miami is going to be right there in the mix with what they got. Just watch out for, it's going to be a pretty top heavy conference. That's all the time that we have for today. This was the ACC breakdown. The rest of the power conferences will be coming, so stay tuned for more. Thank you again so much for listening. This is Beyond the Arc. We will see you next time.